Father God, I thank you. I thank you that we can laugh together. I thank you that Jesus told us how to prepare for his return. So I pray, Lord, that amid chuckling, we would be serious about the return of your Son, that heaven and earth are passing away, but his word is not passing away. So, Father, use us, speak to us, help me, Father, be an adequate messenger for your people today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we are going to do what we did last week. I had 7 points from Luke 21, verses 5 through 36. We're going to go over the 7 points, then we're going to read the passage. Okay, it's on the back of your sheet. So 7 things Jesus told us in preparation. Number one is don't be what? Deceived. Okay, lots of people say, oh, I'm the Christ, or the time is at hand, it's going to happen now. I showed you the booklet, 88 Reasons Why Jesus' Rapture Will Happen in 1988. Well, it didn't happen. And then it came out with another one. Well, it could happen in 1989. It didn't happen in 1989 or 1990. So that's the kind of thing that we want to avoid. We want to be solid. We don't want to be tossed about. Number two, don't be afraid. Today, the passage will say, don't panic. That's the New Living Translation. Number three, look for opportunities to what? Witness. Share your story. Share what Jesus has done in your life. That's something Jesus told us to do. Number four, persevere and stand firm. Okay, we have to be solid. We're not to be, like I said, tossed about, but it's going to take perseverance. Things could get difficult. Number five, keep your head up. That's good advice from Jesus. It's wonderful advice. We're going to talk about that today. Number six, be careful that your heart is not weighed down. Anybody's heart ever get weighed down about the state of the world? Yeah, absolutely. And so Jesus knows how we feel. And he says, well, don't allow yourself to stay in that state. Rather, number seven, be alert and pray. So God's heart is for us not to be weighed down, to be alert, to be looking for his return, and to be praying. Praying helps us be ready, gets us in the right frame of mind and the right position with the Lord. So if you look on the back of your sheet, I'm going to read, it's a long passage, but we're going to read the whole thing because it all goes together. Luke 21, starting in verse 5, some of his disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the walls. But Jesus said, the time's coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Teacher, they asked, when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to take place? He replied, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and saying, the time has come. Don't believe them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. Then he added, nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes. There will be famines and plagues in many lands. There will be terrifying things, great miraculous signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You'll be dragged into synagogues and prisons. You will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you. I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, friends, will betray you. They will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Those in Judea must flee to the hills. Those in Jerusalem must get out. Those out in the country should not return to the city, for those will be days of God's vengeance, and the prophetic words of the Scripture will be fulfilled. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. For there will be disaster in the land and great anger against this people. They will be killed with the sword or sent away as captives to all the nations of the world. Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. There will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Then he gave them this illustration. Notice the fig tree or any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know, without being told, that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness, by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Okay, amen. May God write his word on our hearts. So there's a lot here. If we just take a step back, one thing, we covered the first 3 points of my outline. We're going to cover the next two today, and then next week we'll cover the last two. But if we just look at this, what's kind of like the main takeaway you should have from those words of Jesus? Stay awake, that's a good one. Be ready, right? Be ready, don't be falling asleep. The second thing is, God's in charge. Heaven rules. Have God's peace. Don't be weighed down. Don't be fearful. Your Lord is coming. Jesus is your Lord. He's coming back. So you have every reason to like stand up straight and to be courageous. Amen? I was reading a book by David Jeremiah. He's a well-known Bible teacher. He said this, which I like. You may not know what the future holds, but you know who holds the future. And then on your sheet, since the whole world is in God's hands, your world is what? In God's hands, all right? So look at the person next to you, say, be encouraged, your world is in God's hands. You don't have a neighbor. That is encouraging. My world, my future is in God's hands. Nothing happens to you as an accident, okay? God is sovereign. And even Jesus said bad things could happen to you. He warned them, some of you will die. Did some of the apostles die? Yes, it appears that 11 out of the 12 of them died, were put to death. They all died, but they were put to death. So Jesus is warning them. He's telling them, hey, don't be scared. This is going to be your opportunity. When you're dragged before other people, it's your opportunity. So I wanted to share a story. I mentioned it. I want to give it in a little more detail. The Apostle Paul took this to heart. Okay, he wasn't there when Jesus said that, but he's a guy who seized every opportunity to share his story. So in Acts 21, Paul's been preaching for years around the Mediterranean. He comes to Jerusalem in time for Pentecost, I believe, and he goes into the temple, and there are Jews who were like from cities hundreds of miles away, Antioch, some of these other places, who also came to Jerusalem for the big celebration. They saw Paul there, and they accused him of bringing a non-Jew into the temple, which is absolutely forbidden. That would pollute the temple in the Jewish mind. So they accused him of that. It started a riot. So there's thousands of people in this temple. There's a riot. Paul is being beaten. They're trying to kill him. The Roman commander and soldiers show up. They rescue Paul. They pull him away, and the commander's kind of interrogating him a little bit. And Paul says, no, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a Roman citizen. And he goes, by the way, he goes, do you mind if I address the crowd? It's kind of like, it's crazy. They're trying to kill me. He goes, could I say something to these guys? And the guy goes, okay. And so he starts addressing them, and he goes, look, I'm a Jew like you are. I was educated under Gamaliel in this city, who's one of the most respected rabbis. He goes, I hated the way, which is what they called the Christian faith. I helped put him to death. I was on my way to Damascus to arrest Christians, bring them back here for trial, and throw them in prison. And while I was doing that, this light shone on me from heaven. I fell to the ground, and a voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul replied, well, who are you, Lord? And the answer from heaven was, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Do you think a little fear of God came into Paul's heart right at that time? He was scared to death. He couldn't see. He was blind. They had to lead him into the city. He's blind for 3 days till God sent a believer named Ananias. And as Ananias, when the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go to this guy named Saul, and he says, excuse me, Lord, he's the guy who kills people and throws us into prison. I'm not sure you want me to go there. He goes, no. He's waiting for you. He's been fasting. You're going to pray for him. His eyes are going to open, and he's going to be my messenger to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. It happened just the way the angel said. Paul shares that with all the people, and when he talks about God then sent me to the Gentiles, there's another eruption. This man deserves to die. He's not worthy to live. And people are shouting and screaming, and they drag Paul away. Pretty cool, huh? I mentioned last week, I heard a preacher say, when you preach a message and the response is, let's kill him, you know you had a good message. They got what he was saying, right? My point is, he seized every opportunity, all right? So Numbers 8 and 9, I skipped 8, sorry. The world is in God's hands. Daniel interpreted a dream for King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and the bottom line was, you need to acknowledge that heaven rules. Because unless you humble yourself, God's going to humble you. So heaven rules. So I want us to get that. I want you to have written in your heart a holy confidence that heaven rules, that God is in charge. No matter what happens, you don't have to worry. Jesus said, no matter what happens to you, a hair of your head will not perish. By your perseverance, you'll save your souls. So don't give up. Keep believing in me. Amen? That's what we're going to do. Do you think we could imitate Paul? I'm glad, good for Pat and Ed. Way to go. They're going to imitate Paul. I put on your sheet here, put it into practice. We all have friends who haven't heard our story. Right? Can you think of some of your friends, people you're close to, but you've never actually told them how Jesus saved you? Why don't we just like purpose to start trying to share with them? Let's look for that opportunity or kind of push for that up to say, hey, have I ever told you how Jesus changed my life? They're like, no. Would you like to hear? I'm sure they'll say yes. They're your friends. What do you think they're saying? No, Ari, I don't want to hear that at all. Leave me alone. No, I don't think they're going to do that. These are your friends again. I'm not saying go out to talk to strangers. I'm just saying these are our friends. Let's look for an opportunity. So I quoted this. Jesus said, not a hair of your head will perish because you will stand firm, persevering. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Be strong. In whose strength? God's strength. Okay, how many of you ever feel weak in the face of someone maligning you or giving you a hard time about your faith? Yeah, it's discouraging. You can feel unsettled in time. I have no time. There's times where I've been like, these people are really, giving me a hard time and I feel out of it. I need to draw strength from another place. That other place is the person of the Holy Spirit. So I can draw strength from the Holy Spirit. I read at the beginning of the service, living water comes from God's throne. Number 10, we must persevere because we're in a battle. It's light versus darkness, heaven versus hell, Jesus versus Satan, the powers of heaven versus the powers of hell. That's the world we live in. So you can't have this attitude that, we'll just be nice and try not to cause any problems. And no, it's like there are things that are constantly going to be pulling you the wrong way. Movies you watch. Commercials you watch. You know, I just realized if I just drank Corona beer, I'd have beautiful girls in bikinis like around me all the time. And like, I don't know why I haven't learned that earlier. I mean, everything we watch is sending us messages, right? And we just watch, I mean, we watch it. We're used to watching television. We don't even think about it. But it's telling you, you need this kind of beer to be happy. Well, that's a lie. So that's a minor thing. There's bigger things. When you go to college, when you go to public schools, there's a mindset that God doesn't exist, and so that's underlying everything that you're being fed in your education. There's a worldview that says there is no God, we don't need God, evolution can explain everything that happened, which isn't true, but that's coming at you every school day. And so you have to be strong. You have to be strong in the Lord. We have to stand firm. Number 11, we stand firm on Jesus and his word. Later on, Jesus in this passage says, heaven and earth will what? Pass away, but my word, what? Will not pass away. Do you think it might be wise to get to know God's word? Yeah, because it's eternal. So that's why we read it and study it. So it will strengthen us, and I have something to stand on. God's word. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And winds came. We've had hurricanes in the past year. He's talking about winds, floods. Some people's houses get washed away. Some people's houses stand. Your house stands because you're built on his word. You're believing it. You're putting it into practice. Praise God. A couple years ago, February 2015, 3 years ago, ISIS put out a video, 21 Christian men from Egypt on a beach. So how many of you saw that or read about it? And they were told to recant their faith in Jesus. They refused. And they knew they were going to die. They told them, we're going to behead you. And they refused. They were killed, murdered. They stood firm. You know where they are right now? They're with their Lord that they refuse to deny. They're with Jesus now. Praise God. You know, Ingrid and I were talking about it. You say, wow, I hope I have that kind of faith if I'm ever in that situation. Okay, we don't usually encounter that in America. Here's a lesser example. Some of you know Sean Richmond, pastors Antioch Church over in Waltham. He has a daughter, Molly. Molly's at Harvard. She's part of something called the Christian Union. The Christian Union has a statement of faith, and part of that statement of faith is that if you're a leader, you abstain from sexual immorality, anything that the Bible calls sexually immoral. Well, one of their female leaders actually came forward and admitted, you know what, I actually have a girlfriend, and I know that's like contrary to, you know, our statement of faith. And so she stepped out of leadership, which was the proper thing to do. Well, that became known to the school. It became a massive issue. Articles in the school paper, the Christian Union being maligned for being hateful, being bigoted, being whatever. So Molly, as one of the co-leaders, with this other guy whose name I can't remember, had to talk to the school officials, talk to the Harvard Crimson newspaper, shore up all the people who are like, oh, what's happening to our group? It took hours and hours of their time. But you know what? They stood firm. They said, hey, we're the Christian Union. We're based on the Bible. This is what the Bible teaches. Everybody knows about it ahead of time. We agree ahead of time. We don't hate this woman. She's still our friend, but she's just abiding by our rules. And they didn't back down. Can you imagine what it would be like to be at Harvard, of all places, and to have that going on, how you'd feel? The pressure on you? It's enormous. I'm so proud of Molly Richmond. I wrote her a letter commending her. I don't know her all that well, but I, you know her, and her dad told me about it. I'm like, wow, that's what Christians are supposed to do. Stand firm. Do you think Molly might have a reward in heaven? I think so. Good for her. This is what Jesus is talking about. Look with me on your sheet, 1 John 2. Let's read this passage together. 1 John 2:15. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. This world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. Now say this loudly. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Amen. Does this sound accurate? Is this an accurate description of our world? Craving for physical pleasure, everything we see, buy more. We live in America, right? Did anybody buy something last month that you didn't really need? Because there's something, it's like pulling, buy me. Pride in our achievements and possessions, that's America, right? So he's saying, watch out for that. Don't love those things, love the Father. Are you with me? And I have to commend you, by and large, you guys live this way. Keep doing it. If you're not living this way, repent. Go to God, correct yourself, okay? Get founded again where you need to be. Amen? Oh, I also have to mention about Molly. Molly, after all of this, got invited to a very prestigious organization called the Harvard Club. Okay, the Harvard Club has a property downtown Boston, and for some reason they asked her to speak, and she emailed the guy back like, do you want me to really talk about like just like how I like Harvard, or do you want me to talk about everything that's happened the past month and a half? And this guy got back to her and said, oh, yeah, why don't you talk about what happened? So she spoke to like 200 Harvard alumni and got to share, again, her story. See, God honors those who honor him. He's just like letting more people hear the word of God. Amen. Okay, verse 20 on your sheet. Verses 20 through 24 talk about the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem surrounded by armies. What are Christians supposed to do when they saw that happen? Flee. And there's historians who talk about Christians left the city because of the warning that Jesus gave them. Jesus talks about prophetic words of Scripture. Was Jerusalem ever destroyed at another time? Yes, it was. It was destroyed about 600 years earlier by King Nebuchadnezzar. Why was it destroyed? Luke? They rebelled against God. What were they serving and worshiping? Idols. So God says, you're serving idols. That's like adultery. You're unfaithful to me. And he said, if you don't repent, the city will be destroyed. It was destroyed. It was built up again. Now Jesus is warning them again. What are they rejecting this time? The Messiah and God's salvation. And Jesus is warning them. This is what's going to happen. Great distress will come. People will be brutally killed with a sword, sent away as captives. Do you realize this absolutely happened? There was a rebellion in Judea. They sent an army in 67 AD, and they came and they were conquering town after town. And there was a general, Titus, who besieged Jerusalem. And it came during the celebration of Passover. So there was literally like tens or maybe even like 100,000 extra people in the city for Passover. And this great battle commenced, and one Roman historian believes 600,000 Jewish people were slaughtered. I mean, that's mind-boggling. Boston, the city proper, is like around 600,000 people. I mean, that's hard to believe. Another writer, Josephus, said the temple steps and the streets around it were like a river of blood. They just killed everybody. 97,000 people were taken away as slaves. So I'm sorry to bring all this up, but I just want you to know that what Jesus said happened. It was awful. What he wrote came true. He said that this will happen until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. In God's plan, there's a time where the Gentiles overran Jerusalem and the whole country. Paul references this in Romans 11, saying there's a time for the Gentiles to hear the gospel and believe, and then what's going to happen when that time ends? So there's going to be a record harvest of Jewish people coming to faith in Jesus. Okay, so that's an amazing prophecy that's yet to come to pass. So amid all of that, that would be a fearful thing. Do you think you might be afraid when a Roman army is surrounding your city? And Jesus said, don't panic. I told you in advance, flee the city, stand firm, persevere. Not a hair of your head will perish. You have eternal life. Amen? Okay, let's keep going. Verses 25 and 26. There'll be signs in the heavens. On earth, nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming on the earth. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. Does anyone here ever look at the Weather Channel? I think the Weather Channel is like tuned into Luke 21 because the Weather Channel tries to portray the worst, like hurricanes, floods. This is the worst, like hurricane in 50 years. This is the greatest flood in 100. And you're like, oh my gosh, it makes you feel like the world's coming to an end. I don't know that they're Christian at the Weather Channel, but they've definitely got that fear at like what's happening in the earth. Jesus is saying, number 12, do not fear what other people fear. Global warming, climate change, there are people who are like so worried about that. Just as an aside, has the climate ever changed on planet Earth? Yes, there were like ice ages, there were warm times. We may be entering into it has been warmer the past 20 years. Some people are happy about that. You're like, bring it to New England, Lord. Yeah, we need it after last winter. So we should be trying to care for our environment and take care of the earth, all right? But we don't have to be all afraid. When Mr. Trump was elected, some people panicked. There were huge rallies, right? I mean, wasn't there like rallies with hundreds of thousands of people in different cities. Now, did those people all get arrested and thrown in jail because they went to a rally against Mr. Trump? Did they lose their jobs? No. So they have a right to rally and be upset, but life goes on. We're still ruled by the Constitution. Are you getting what I'm after? See, people, there's something in us where we become fearful. We get weighed down. People lose heart. They lose courage, Jesus said. Don't fear what other people fear. What does Jesus tell you to do? Rejoice. But what's he saying in this passage? Lift up your hands. Stand up. Stand up. Lift your heads up. When we were in college, Igor and I were at college, there was a gospel choir. And they used to do a song, stand up for Jesus, all ye people of the Lord. If you love him, live for him, why don't you be all for him? Stand up for Jesus, stand up for Jesus, stand up for Jesus right now. Now, it would sound better if Steph or Harley sang it, but you get the idea. Stand up. I mean, I love that song. It's like, that's what Jesus is talking about. Just the spirit of, stand up. You can be counted for Jesus. Keep your head up. How many of you have ever come up for prayer and you had your head down and I asked you to put your head up? Okay, some of you, yeah. Why is that? Because we're head down. Well, Lord, yeah, if you can do something with somebody like me, go ahead. Real faith-filled prayer. Yeah, you know, I'm just a loser. No, keep your head up. I said, come on. Put your head up. You're a child of God. You can walk with your head up. Straighten up. Jesus has made a way for you to give all your cares to the Father. Hallelujah. We are always to have our head up. Christians are to walk with their heads up. Somebody say amen. All right, come on. We're children of the King. Number 13, your King is returning for you. The King of Kings is coming. He's going to judge the living and the dead. He's coming for you because you believe in him. Wow. That's exciting. That's good news. Verse 27, then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. Does anyone know what passage Jesus is quoting from? Daniel, very good. Daniel chapter 7. I didn't have room to put it on your sheet. Here's what Daniel 7:13 says, all right? Pay attention to this. Listen to what Daniel's saying. I kept looking in the night visions. He's got visions. With the clouds of heavens, one like a Son of Man was coming. He came up to the Ancient of Days, was presented before him. To him was given dominion, authority, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him or worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Does that sound like Jesus? Yeah, it sure does. He's coming. He says everyone will see him. Now, to kind of close out here, here's another book that came out in the 80s, Peace, Prosperity, and the Coming Holocaust. So this guy was trying to predict what would bring Jesus back to earth, all right? So a lot of people focus on the negative, the turmoil, the wars. He was looking at when people say peace and safety, then Jesus is going to come. So his prediction is that kind of the New Age movement, that whole, like, God is in you. You know, we can all, you know, Pat's message, we can all determine right and wrong for ourselves, that that's going to somehow usher in kind of like a new age. And when there's a rapture, then people aren't going to know why people, like, left planet Earth, and that will enable the Antichrist to take over. Now, that's an interesting theory. I guess it could be right. How many of you think that I think that's the right theory? No, I don't think that's the right theory. The reason I don't think it's the right theory is because when Jesus comes back, when we're raptured, when we go to meet Jesus, Jesus said everybody's going to see it. Matthew said it's like when lightning flashes from one end of the sky to the other. Have you ever been in a big thunderstorm in the summer and the lightning goes from one end of the sky to? Is that like a little secret thing that nobody knows what happened? No. Okay, so I just say this to us. This guy's a wonderful believer. You know, he's like an expert in cults and everything. He's read other books I really like. But again, there's this thing in Christians. They want to figure it all out, and they've come up with all kinds of theories. So here's your Dave Hill guideline for the last days. Base what you believe on what Jesus and the apostles clearly say. Don't try and base it on Daniel's visions in the book of Revelation, which are apocalyptic visions about the end that are hard to understand. Because when everybody tries to figure out all those things, they always get it wrong. So just say, you know what, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to happen. You're in good standing. Jesus said, nobody knows the time except the Father. Are you with me? So let's read, to close out, let's read 1 Thessalonians 4. I want you to read this out loud with me, because this is Paul writing. The Christians at Thessalonica were concerned about believers who had died. In some translations, it says they had fallen asleep. So I'm quoting the New Living. It doesn't use that. It just comes right out and says the people who have died. So, Paul is telling them the people who have died are in good hands. And when Jesus comes, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. They're going to get a new body. Are you with me? Okay, so that's the context. So let's read this together. We want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. Living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Amen. Does that sound like a powerful day? The Lord's ascending with a shout. And just so you know, where it says we'll be caught up in the clouds, the word rapture, the Latin is raptus, and it means caught up. That's, so if you wonder why do Christians say there's a rapture coming, that's the Latin of that phrase from 1 Thessalonians 4. So if we can have the worship team come up, we are going to celebrate communion together. We're going to eat at the Lord's table. So from this message, I want you to take home, be ready, be unafraid. If you start feeling a little bit down, what does Jesus say? Stand up straight. Keep your head up. Persevere. Stand on God and his word. Can we do that together? Yes, we can. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Father, I pray you would impart faith to us to keep our heads up, to look for you. The turmoil we see around us, your kingdom is coming. It's growing. Your Lord is going to return one day, brothers and sisters, coming in the clouds. Every eye will see him. You will be gathered together to him if you're alive at that time. Keep your faith. Holy Spirit, strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen.